This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. It has just gone past 7:35 in the morning. It's Wednesday, the 20th of January. And as usual, in about half an hour, we're going to have the breakfast grill. And what interesting topic do we have today, Philip?
A very timely breakfast grill with President Biden's inauguration. Lynn will be discussing the present and future U.S. foreign policy and how this will impact Southeast Asia with a panel of experts including Jayan Menon, who is a visiting senior fellow from IDS Yusof Ishak Institute, and Elina Noor, a director of Asia Society.
Because there are going to be question marks about what is Biden's foreign policy going to be like? How does that differ from Trump? And also questions about Malaysia, right? I think that's always going to be relevant. Is it going to be warmer ties or is it going to be frosty ties ahead? So Lynn will be having that conversation later after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But in the meantime, let's look down south, because the Australian Department of Health Secretary said yesterday that it's unlikely for the country to reopen its borders this year, even if most of the population get vaccinated. Now, this doesn't bode well for the country's airline industry, who were hoping that travel could resume this year.
Beyond the airline industry, the international education sector is also set to suffer more losses as long as international students aren't allowed back into Australia. As it is, in October 2019, they saw 51,000 new and returning international students in Australia. 1 year on, that figure has fallen by 99.7%. So while experts have picked the Australian economy for recovery this year, deteriorating relations with China will also dampen that projection. So,
what's the economic outlook like for Australia this year then? And helping us break it down is Catherine Birch, Senior Economist at ANZ Research. Now, thanks for joining us this morning, Catherine. Now, Australia's international education, like we said, has never seemed to recover from the initial shock of COVID-19. So is this sector that is doomed, especially now that borders are likely to remain closed?
I wouldn't say it's a sector that's doomed. There are still, for example, online channels where international students can still participate in the universities. It will be interesting to see this year now that, DHHS has said that we may not be seeing international students come back in significant numbers, even in the second half of this year, which was something that we had assumed in our latest forecast towards the end of last year. It will be interesting to see as a group of international students who were still over here last year and who may have finished up their course now, they will be finishing, but we won't be seeing the same number of international students come back in again. So although it's not doomed, it is going to be under pressure for this year as well and for longer than perhaps they were expecting. So this is a sector which will perhaps be given some support by government over coming months, given that is the outlook now.
Yeah, so beyond education, which other sectors do you see further pressure on in the coming year ahead?
Well, it's businesses exposed to international tourism is really the other big one. Although, one of the silver linings that we've had in Australia over the past year and will also help this year is that usually a lot of Australians go overseas to travel but are now actually having to stay here. And they actually tend to spend more outside Australia than visitors to Australia do. But there's a bit of a difference in terms of the distribution of where those visitors go, particularly geographically. So international visitors tend to spend more time and more money in the capital cities in Australia, whereas Australian residents travelling within Australia tend to spend more time and money in the regions. And actually, it's really important that we see that boost to tourism in the regions, given that this time last year, a lot of regional Australia was experiencing devastating bushfires at the peak of the tourist season. So it's really good to see a lot of visitors in regional parts this time.
So, Catherine, what are your GDP expectations for 2021? I mean, are there any positive sectors out there?
So we're forecasting that GDP will grow by about 4% year on year in Australia in 2021. If we think about borders staying closed for longer, in net terms, there shouldn't be too big an impact on overall GDP growth, particularly if we talk about those substituting from international visitors to Australian visitors staying in Australia. But again, there's a bit of a difference in how things will be distributed across industries. So education, again, is going to suffer a bit more, but some of the other industries are actually doing quite well if we look at professional services and some of the other industries as well. Agriculture has been going quite well since the drought ended, despite some of those restrictions from China on imports of agricultural commodities. Mining is also doing quite well, particularly given where iron ore prices as well and demand for iron ore coming back quite strongly too. And also even towards the end of last year, we saw very strong improvements in the labour market again, which is a real indicator of where things currently are. So there are some positives and negatives for 2021.
Yeah, and so it seems like you're painting a relatively rosy picture. So ScoMo launched a stimulus in March last year, a relatively large one, with a series of smaller stimuluses. Do you expect more stimulus coming from the government to minimise impact, or do you think that's all they're going to do now?
Well, the biggest part of the stimulus was the JobKeeper program, which was the wage subsidy in Australia. And in total, that's estimated to cost around $100 billion Australian dollars. But that's going to come to an end at the end of March on the current schedule. So one of the risks there, we saw in the December quarter that there were still about 1.6 million workers receiving that wage subsidy. So more than 10% of Australia's pre-pandemic workforce. We'd expect a smaller number of people still relying on it in the March quarter, but there'll still be a lot of people on it. So one of the risks is that if we don't see enough of an improvement to get businesses still going, if we do see businesses have to close or reduce their operations once JobKeeper ends, then we could see a group of people move from that into unemployment, unfortunately. So we do see a need for, further government support that's more targeted into those industries that are going to continue to be affected. So international education is a big one, as are some of the international tourism businesses. And some parts of manufacturing are also under quite a bit of pressure as well.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Catherine Birch, Senior Economist at ANZ Research, giving us her views on where the Australian economy is heading. Now, her number in terms of GDP forecast, I think she's got a house view of 4%, which is slightly above the Bloomberg consensus number of 3.6%. But it's not like the economy doesn't have some pain points, one of which, of course, is the unemployment rate, which is forecasted to still be at 6.8% for next year. And if I'm not wrong, the RBA, their central bank, is targeting, I think, 5% for it to bring down. So at the current moment, their target rate is only 0.1%. So ultra, ultra low, ultra, ultra accommodative rates, which explains why in Australia there's this housing boom despite a recession.
Yeah, I'm also interested to see how commodities will move and will impact Australia, especially with the tensions with China. They don't seem to be resolved yet as a result of Australia calling for China to do the investigation on COVID cases. And I wonder whether China will tighten the screws further and whether Australia will repivot with the US, with the Biden administration, to put pressure on China as well. And how that overall impacts demand and economy in Australia will be something worth observing.
Yeah, I think Biden coming into the White House does change the dynamics of many things, right? Mm. And Australia has always been seen as an American ally,
yep,
and maybe paid a price for it in terms of the, I guess, how China reacts to Australia and has had sanctions on many Australian goods. But this is something I think we will be watching very closely. Up next, we'll be discussing UMNO and its political strategy. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.